Good morning. It is good to be here. As I was walking in, I thought, spring. I think this is what spring feels like. I don't think it's going to last, but it's kind of nice while it's here, isn't it? Why don't we pray and then read our Bibles together? Dear God, we come to you and we thank you because you are good and you love us and you give us your word. You invite us to read, and then you give us times like this where together we can read, and you speak to us together through your word. So I pray that you would do that now, that this would be living and active. What we read would be living and active, and you would open our hearts and minds, and you would guide me as I explain the text, and you would draw us to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, flip over to Genesis. That's the fun way to start a sermon, isn't it? So we're going through the Old Testament and just looking at some of the big stories, the Sunday school stories, if you will, the ones that, it's like when you're a kid, you get all the fun stories, and then you grow up, and then you just get the theory. So we're looking at the fun stories, and this is, for me, it's been quite a fun little jaunt. So before we look at the story today, okay, here's a question. Has anyone ever taken anything from you? Obviously, the answer to that would be yes, right? Think of something that painful that was taken from you, that something important, something, maybe it was a physical thing that they took from you. Maybe they have it now, and you can picture it in their mind, and they're driving around in it or using it, or they have it, and it's yours, and you, but you're not going to like sue them or anything, but they took it from you. Or maybe it's like something you can't touch and feel, but you know that promotion was yours, that you should have been the one going out with that person. Your reputation was taken from you. People think worse of you right now than they should because somebody said something or something taken from you. How does that make you feel? See, I always ask us to think about stuff that makes us feel horrible at the beginning, don't I? That's not a good feeling when we remember that thing that was taken. It's like, oh, and I'm supposed to love that person and I'm supposed to forgive them and I don't like it when people take stuff from me. It doesn't make me feel good. Well, today we got a story about somebody taking something from someone else. It's a story of anyone? Jacob and Esau? I thought that would have been unanimously shouted out. Jacob and Esau. Look at Genesis chapter 25. So Abraham had a son, Isaac. Isaac's life was kind of boring until he had his kids. There was some stuff that happened, but his kids made his life more interesting and not always in a good way. So look at Genesis chapter 25. He had two sons, twin brothers. The firstborn, this is important, maybe not for us, but for them, very, very important. The firstborn was Esau, and then his younger brother, again, important, younger brother. So the firstborn had rights and privileges. He was the firstborn. He was going to get a bigger inheritance. He was going to be the patriarch of the family. He was going to be the one running things, the one in charge. I'm the oldest of nine children, and I often go back to the Old Testament Bible. I don't anymore, but when I was a kid, I was like, I'm the oldest. I should get some respect. I'm like mom, dad, or my dad, mom, and then me. And never was that way, but but anyway, for them, that's the way it was. Esau was the oldest brother. He was the man. And then look at what happens. Chapter 25, verse 27. When the boys grew up, Esau was a skilled hunter, a man of the field, while Jacob was a quiet man dwelling in tents. Probably played a lot of video games. They didn't have video games. That's not biblical. Isaac, so the father, loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Just because something happens in the Bible doesn't mean it's right. This is not a good thing. They had favorites. Their parents had favorites. This was a bad. Right away, you read that verse. You say, okay, so there were problems in this family. There were issues. It wasn't. This was not a healthy. A psychologist would have had fun with this family. They were not a good, well-adjusted family, and that becomes more apparent as it goes on. Look at verse 28. Once, when Jacob was cooking stew, Esau came in from the field, and he was exhausted. And Esau said to Jacob, "Let me eat some of that red stew, for I'm exhausted." Therefore, his name was called Edom. Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright now." Now, what's the birthright? This is important. It's the oldest. It's that position. It's I'm the oldest son. I get the bigger inheritance. I'm going to be the patriarch. I'm the man of the family. I'm the I'm the one. Everybody else after me isn't the one. I'm the one. And his brother comes in starving, probably saying, I'm dying of hunger. Hey, sell me your birthright. I want to be the one. And so what does Esau do? He says, I'm about to die of what use is a birthright to me. A little bit of exaggeration there. He was just hungry, but you know, Jacob said, swear to me now. So he swore to him, sold his birthright to Jacob. You know, kids do stuff. They make little deals and stuff. I'm guessing Esau didn't think he was giving up the family fortune and his position as the oldest brother and the man in charge. It's just this little brother. Just, yeah, whatever. Give me some of your soup that you made. I'm hungry. I don't think he thought that he was totally giving it up, but then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank and rose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. He didn't take it into account. He didn't value it. He didn't say, this is important. And so Jacob, in that moment, whether Esau realized it or not completely, he took something from his brother. But then, probably because Esau goes away and he's still the man. I'm the oldest son. That's like play Monopoly. Nothing really happened there. So Jacob seals the deal after a while. He comes back, so the birthright gave him a rights, and it gave him position in the family. He was the oldest, but then he took something else from his brother, and this sealed the deal. He now became the one. He became the chosen one. He became he took his brother's place with this last thing that he took. He took his brother's blessing. Where the birthright gave you a position and it gave you rights, the blessing marked the path of your life. It put you on a path. The father's blessing of his oldest son put his son on a path for the rest of his life, and it determined the course of his life. So that's what Jacob is now going to take from his brother. Look at chapter 27. When Esau was old, and his eyes were so dim that he could not see. I'm sorry, when Isaac was old, the father, and his eyes were so dim that he could not see, he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, my son, and he answered, here I am. He said, behold, I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now then, take your weapons, your quiver, and your bow, and go out into the field and hunt game for me, and prepare for me delicious food such as I love, and bring them to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die. So this was a moment. Esau had been waiting for this moment his whole life. His father was going to bless him. He was going to put his hand on his head. He was going to say things about him that would determine the course of his life. It's like getting the best fortune read ever if the fortune was actually real and true and would come true. His father was going to tell him how successful he was going to be and what his life was going to be like and how his younger brother was going to serve him and he was going to rule over and he was going to... His father was going to bless him. He had been waiting his whole life for this, I'm sure. Now, Rebekah, so the wife, the mother, was listening when Isaac spoke to his son Esau. A little overhearing, picked up the telephone. My sisters used to do that. You know, we had the phones, you know, where you could pick up the phone in the basement, and I would hear a click, and it was like, Hannah, you on the phone? Hannah, hang up. Later, no, I wasn't on the phone. Yeah, I heard the click. Rebecca was listening when Isaac spoke to his son Esau. So when Esau went to the field to hunt for game and bring it, Rebecca said to her son Jacob, remember, her favorite one. So the dad loved the older one. This was her favorite one, and he was going to get cut out of the blessing. And probably the whole birthright deal that he made wouldn't mean anything after he got cut out of the blessing. So she said, I heard your father speak to your brother Esau. Bring me game and prepare for me delicious food that I may eat it and bless you before the Lord before I die. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice as I command you. Go to the flock and bring me two young goats that I may prepare from them delicious food for your father, such as he loves. And then you shall bring it to your father to eat that he may bless you before he dies. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, behold, my brother Esau is a hairy man and I'm a smooth man. So like... No hair on his arms. Perhaps my father will feel me and I shall seem to be mocking him and bring a curse upon myself and not a blessing. So that'd be even worse, right? Instead of just not getting a blessing from your father, what if he curses me? And then he doesn't just not put me on the great path for life, but he puts me on a horrible path. And the rest of my life is marked by my father cursing me. That would be worse. And his mother said to him, let your curse be on me, my son. Obey my voice and go and bring them to me. So he went and took them and brought them to his mother. And his mother prepared delicious food such as his father loved. Do you ever wonder if when Esau was bullying Jacob, because, you know, brothers,
two brothers, and they know the big old one out in the field hunting and stuff, so he's probably the bigger bully. Do you think he ever called Jacob mama's boy? I would never, but I mean, I'm guessing. Okay. We shouldn't laugh at that. That wasn't nice. So he went out and took them and brought them to his mother, and his mother prepared delicious food such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the best garments of Esau, her older son, who were with her in the house, and put them. Isn't this like a soap opera? This is just like the most ridiculous story. She takes her older son's clothes and puts them on the younger son. It's just like sick and disgusting. And she put the best garments on that were with her in the house, put them on Jacob, her younger son. And then the skins of the young goats she put on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. Remember, his brother had hairy arms. He was a hairy dude, and he was all not hairy. And so, okay, wrong on so many levels. Recently butchered animals, taking the skin from them. It wasn't nice like you would go to the store and buy nice leather. It was bloody skin and just stuck it on there with the blood sticking it to his arms. Gross. And then how hairy was his brother that to deceive the father and make him think this is probably the... No matter how hairy your arms are, Esau beat you. I mean, he had to have a goat's flesh on his arm to feel like him. Put him on Jacob, a younger son, verse 17. And she put the delicious food and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he went in to his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" And Jacob said to his father, "I'm Esau, your firstborn. I've done as you told me. Now sit up and eat of my game that your soul may bless me." But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" He wasn't just going to go out and like kill a goat in the pasture. He was going to the mountains and he was going to kill an animal and bring it back. And if you've ever gone deer hunting recently and you know you gut it and you carry it back and you have to have a little ATV to get it back, and that's a process. And then you have to skin it and it takes a while. "How do you do this so fast?" But Isaac said, this is taking the Lord's name in vain. We think that saying God's name in vain is like saying OMG, you know, all the letters, like saying it all out, right? It is. But it's using God's name for something God's not doing. That's taking his name in vain too. But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" He answered, "Because the Lord your God granted me success. A lightning bolt should have come down and just burn him up." And then Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near me that I may feel you, my son, to know whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob went to Isaac, his father. He knew something was up. It's like, it's not right. He's bringing me the stuff, and he's the only one who knew about this, but something's not right, and you want to shout through the television, it's not him, but you can't. He felt his son and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice." So he wasn't very good at doing impressions, obviously, but the hands are the hands of Esau. So poor Isaac, he was so confused. He did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother's Esau's. He sounded like the other one, but he smelled like Esau, and he brought the game, and he was the only one who knew. It's just... you'd be going crazy. "Which one is he? I can't tell." So he blessed him. He said, "Are you really my son Esau?" He said, "I am." How sad is that? Deceiving his father like that. Then he said, "Bring it near me that I may eat of my son's game and bless you." So he brought it near him and he ate, and he brought him wine and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come near and kiss me, my son." So he came near and kissed him, betrayed with a kiss. And Isaac smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him. And said, "See, the smell of my son is the smell of the field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you. Let nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you." As soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, when Jacob had scarcely gone out. So this is just like, this would be the most awesome episode, or even like several episodes of a soap opera, because he's finishing eating, and you're watching Esau come in. He got the game, and he's cooking it, and now he's getting closer to the tent, and Isaac's still in there. He's going to get out in time, and they cut to commercial, and then Isaac just leaves right in time, and then Esau comes in, and I lose my place, I'm sorry. He also prepared delicious food, verse 31, and brought it to his father, and he said to his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that you may bless me." And his father Isaac said to him, "Who are you?" He answered, "I'm your son, your firstborn Esau." Then Isaac trembled very violently and said, Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me, and I ate it all before you came? I blessed him. Yes, and he shall be blessed. As soon as Esau heard the words of his father, he knew, right? He cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, bless me also, even me also, oh my father. But he said, your brother came deceitfully and he has taken away your blessing. It wasn't something he could just say, oh, okay, I'll give you another one. I'll take it away from him. And he took it. He has it. You're not getting it. Verse 36, Esau said, is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has cheated me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing. Then he said, have you not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said to Esau, behold, I made him lord over you and all his brothers. I have given to him for servants, and with grain and wine I have sustained him. What then can I do for you, my son? Esau said to him, have you but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also. Look at how desperately he wanted to be blessed. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, that's what a heart-rending scene. Behold, this is the best blessing he could do, because he had given the great path to his brother. Behold, away from the fatness of the earth shall your dwelling be, and away from the dew of heaven on high. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. Then you will grow restless, and you will break his yoke from your neck. That's all. A little bit of vengeance built into that blessing. Wasn't really a blessing. I wouldn't want that blessing spoken over me. Not going to have a best life out of that one. Now Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, the days of mourning for my father are approaching. Then I will kill my brother Jacob. But the words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah. She heard everything, and she had her little spies. So she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, behold, your brother Esau comforts himself about you by planning to kill you. Who couldn't see that coming, right? Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice. Arise, flee to Laban, my brother, in Haran. She sent him away. And stay with him a while until your brother's fury turns away, till your brother's anger turns away from you, and he forgets what he has done, what you have done to him. Then I will send and bring you from there. Why should I be bereft of you both in one day? Then Rebekah said to Isaac, I loathe my life because of the Hittite women. So Esau had married a couple of local girls. They weren't from the tribe that God said, you know, this is the year, don't marry the people around you, marry within the people who I've chosen for. And he married other people from around, and Rebekah so lies to her husband again. She says, if Jacob marries one of the Hittite women like these, one of the women of the land, what good will my life be? And so Jacob sends his son away. And isn't that just a sad? I'm sure we'll read some good stories as we go through this series, but today's story, it's sad. It's a son who wanted so desperately to be blessed by his father, desperately wanted to be blessed, and then he cheated and he robbed and he took the blessing from his brother, and his father blessed him. He received the blessing, and his brother was left without a blessing. That's important. He was blessed, and his brother was left without a blessing. But he got the blessing, and then there was destruction and brokenness in his family. He was sent away, and his brother hated him and wanted to kill him. And his father, you can read that blessing, it's like his father, I think, wanted him to kill his brother. It was he wanted him to get vengeance on his brother. That's the way I read it. There was brokenness, and the mother was lying to the father, and the father was being deceived by her. It was just a horrible, horrible situation. He got his blessing, but there was destruction in the family. And you're like, okay, so what does that story have to do with me? Maybe you're not even a hunter. He's like, I have no relation to that story. Well, here's the thing. We all want to be blessed. We all want a blessing. Maybe we don't call it that. I've never gone to my father. I don't live waiting for the day when my father is about to die and calls me in and says, cook me an excellent, northern trout or northern, that's not what it is, northern, whatever the northern thing of Canada, that fish. Hey, cook me one of those things and then I will bless you. And I'm not waiting for that day because that's not a thing for us, right? But we all want approval, don't we? We have the same desire Jacob had. We want approval. We want to be the favorite one. We want other people to go, wow, you're pretty awesome. I recognize you. We want to belong to the group. We want to be special. We want other people to think well of us. We want people to like us. And we look for that approval from anywhere. We look for, like in the story, from our parents. We want our parents to approve of us. We sometimes live our whole lives wanting our parents' approval, and then our family. I want my kids to be happy with me and approve of me, and I want them to think, now they're getting to age, I want them to think I'm cool. That's silly, isn't it? I'm not cool. We want our family, we want our spouse, our boyfriend or girlfriend, whoever's in our life, we want them to think that we're pretty awesome. We look for approval from our friends. We want to fit in. We want people at work to think he's pretty awesome. They're one of the best ones. We couldn't lose her. We want approval. Who has the power in your life to make you feel worthy, to make you feel approved, to make you feel complete? Who's your Isaac, the one who can make you feel the blessing, like you're worthy, like you are somebody? And like Jacob, we do pretty much anything to get that blessing. We do ridiculous stuff. We compete. Why do people compete? Why do my boys, whenever one does something, I say, hey, that's pretty awesome. Why does the other one go, but I also and did one better than him? We compete for, we put other people down because somehow we think that'll make me be look better. I'll get more approval from people when I put that person down because I'll be up higher than them. Why do we always have to publish and talk about the stuff we do? We want people to look at us and say, you're awesome, you're good, I approve of you, you're one of us, you're one of the good ones. Why do we lie to cover up the stuff, the bad stuff we do? Because we don't want people to take away their approval from us. What's the most ridiculous thing that you've done trying to get approval from other people? Yeah. Think back far enough, there's some embarrassing stories there. I was in the car this morning going, Z Cavarici. Those fluffy pants with the things and the buckle and the... So ridiculous. I was not complete until I had them, though, because my friends wore that name, and so I had to have them, and I looked like probably some, like, junior high school pirate. It just didn't... So embarrassing. Thankfully, there were not, you know, like, iPhones back then. Not a lot of photographic evidence. We don't find the approval that we want. Not totally. No matter how much your parents put their arms around you and said, I love you, I think you're awesome. Maybe me just saying that makes you remember that your parents never did that to you. Maybe they did, but you still say there's more. I want to be loved, I want to be approved of, it's like Jacob, we're left with that desire. Where does the phrase daddy issues come from? Oh. We want other people to approve of us. We want the blessing. This story takes us from Jacob and Isaac and Esau to us, and then it takes us, like all the stories, to Jesus, because, well, when we see our need for blessing, for true blessing, for lasting blessing, to be approved of and to belong, that takes us to our need for a rescuer, someone to rescue us from this need for constant need of approval, just like Jacob had. It takes us to Jesus because Jesus was another son, like Jacob, who was blessed by his father, whose father said, I approve of you, I bless you. Look at Matthew chapter 3. Jesus is being baptized by his cousin John the Baptizer. See how I stayed away from giving John a denominational affiliation? Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. When Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is a blessing. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Approval from the Father. Go to Matthew 17. Verse 5, Jesus was on the mountain. He's talking with people from the past, the transfiguration. Moses and Elijah and Peter pipes up and let's make some altars and commemorate this. And verse 5, while he was still speaking, when behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Beloved Son, well pleased. The Father blessing the Son. Jesus becomes the better Jacob. Jacob was a son blessed by his father, but Jesus is the better Jacob because, well, Jacob was a son of Isaac, right? Jesus was the only firstborn, only begotten son of God. Jacob wanted to be blessed by his father. That's what he wanted. Jesus wanted to please his father. I only do what pleases my father, he said. Jacob deceived and robbed and stole to get the blessing. What did Jesus do? He came and he sacrificed himself. The father, Isaac, blessed his son, Jacob. God, the father, blesses Jesus. In the Old Testament story, this is why Jesus is a better Jacob. In the Old Testament story, in order for Jacob to get the blessing, his brother has to be without a blessing. But in our story with Jesus, Jesus receives a blessing from the Father, and through him, all of his brothers and sisters are blessed. We are all blessed in him. Look, flip over to Ephesians. Flip over to Ephesians chapter 1. And while you're flipping, listen to this. So not only do his brothers and sisters receive the blessing, instead of the blessing being taken away from them, but what happened in the family? What happened in the family with Jacob and Esau? There was brokenness and destruction. There was horrific violence in the family. It was this bad situation. There was people sent away. And because when Jesus was blessed by the Father, reconciliation and restoration enters into the family of God. He is the better Jacob. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. We'll read a few verses there, starting in verse 1. Paul, an apostle, by the will of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus, who are faithful in Christ Jesus. So he's talking to saints who are in Jesus. So people, God's children, people who are in Jesus Christ. So this is people. He's talking to people who have given themselves to Jesus, who have repented him and baptized, who have made the decision to tell Jesus, "You are my Lord and Savior." So he's talking to Christians. And look at what he says to them. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So he said, You received, and you can receive, and you do receive, and you will receive grace and peace from God. Instead of brokenness, instead of hurt and destruction, you receive grace and peace. Look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ. So the brother who is blessed by the Father blesses his other brothers. Through the brother, we receive blessing. Instead of blessing being taken away from us, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So it's not just like a little throwaway blessing. We get it all. We get the full blessing from the Father in Jesus Christ. In verse 4, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. I'm going to stop two words before verse 5, but look at that. Isaac didn't choose who he was going to bless. God chose. He was deceived. He blessed the wrong one. He thought he was blessing the other one. He had no choice in the matter. God sovereignly chooses to bless us and makes us holy and without stain, or he makes us perfect. And if we're made perfect in his sight, that means he's totally happy with us. We have the full approval of the Father. We have the acceptance and the approval of God the Father because Jesus lived the perfect life, and that's transferred to us in Christ. And the Father is happy in us through his Son. We have his blessing. Verse 5, in love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. He decided to make us his children. We're adopted by the Father because of what Jesus did on the cross, because he died and was slaughtered and rose from the dead. We can become God's children. The family isn't destroyed. The family is united. The family is made whole through Jesus. And then look at verse 6. And I love this verse. To the praise of his glorious grace, so God gets the glory with which he has blessed us. He's blessed us in the beloved. Who's the beloved? It's Jesus, right? So through Jesus, we receive God's full blessing. That's where it started. That's where it ends. The big idea from the story of Jacob, if you follow it through all the way to Jesus, is this. God's children, not Isaac's children, God's children, have the full approval and blessing and acceptance of their Father. He's happy with us. We're perfect in his eyes. He's satisfied with us. Think about that. If you are in Christ, if you're God's child, God is happy with you. He's not happy with who you could be. He's happy with you because he looks at you and he sees Jesus. You have his blessing. You're blessed in everything. That's incredible. And we have that because of Jesus. One brother took away the blessing from the other brother. The other brother opens up the blessing for all the other brothers and sisters. That's what the gospel is. Through his life and his death and his sacrifice, we can become God's blessed and beloved children. That's what grace is. It's receiving God's favor, and we have it in Christ. So what should we do? What is the application from that? If you're not a Christian, receive the blessing. See, if you've never become a Christian, if you've never repented and been baptized and given yourself to Jesus, then in this story, you are in the place of Esau. I know it sounds harsh, but I think it's true, isn't it? You're in the place of Esau. You don't have the Father's blessing. You're outside saying, please bless me. But in a moment, that can change. You can become God's child. You can receive his full blessing, just like Jacob did, just like Jesus did. You can receive God's blessing when you come to him and you repent and are baptized and you say, I give myself to you, and you become God's child and you are blessed in Christ. And in that instant, you become God's adopted, beloved, forgiven, accepted, perfect child. So I say this every week because it's true every week. If you're not a Christian, whenever you say, I got to do that, I want to become God's child, I want the blessing, you don't have to go to the mountains and hunt and bring in a stew and do something crazy. You tell someone and you can repent and be baptized and become God's child. And if you are a Christian, you've received the blessing. So what should we do? I thought about this. I think what we should do is we should be content and happy and fulfilled with the blessing that we have. We should, you know what that means? It means not looking to acceptance and approval from other people. I mean, we should still try to be socially acceptable. We should still, you know, shower and brush our teeth and comb our hair and have a job and do normal stuff. But we shouldn't live our lives desperate for the approval of other people, even our parents, even our spouse, even our children, even the people at work. We should. Okay, if you're a Christian, then we should have this. We should be able to say to ourselves, I'm God's dearly beloved child. I'm perfect in his eyes. He is happy with me right now. Yeah, but I did that thing. He's happy with me right now because I'm in his son. The creator of the universe is happy with me. I have his approval. I have his blessing. Did my father bless me enough? Did your father bless you enough? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Are people approve of you? Are people happy with you right now? Doesn't matter. If you're God's child, he approves of you. And that should make us very content. That should make us repent. Every time we say, I'm desperately trying to find approval. I'm doing stuff so that they like. It's like, wait a second. I should repent of that. I'm looking for something I already have in a place where it won't. I will never get it. I'm God's dearly beloved child. You know how much confidence that would give us if we said that every morning when we woke up? I'm God's dearly beloved child. He's happy with me. He approves of me. What if we started our days saying that? Wouldn't how we live and the confidence we have and even how we say no to sin, wouldn't that change? And then that leads us, I think, to being thankful. Being grateful. And downtown tonight, we always end with communion. So we're going to end with communion and we're going to sing a hymn. And I want to say the verse, the chorus to you, because it captures the thankfulness that I think we should have for Jesus when through him we are blessed by the Father. It's your blood has washed away my sin. Thank you, Jesus. The Father's wrath is completely satisfied. Thank you, Jesus. I was once your enemy. Now I'm seated at your table. Thank you, Jesus. And we stand. Dear God, we come to you and we thank you. We thank you. Thank you, Jesus, because you have opened a way for us to be blessed by the Father, to be approved of by the only one whose opinion matters, to be God's dearly beloved children,
And that is incredible. We thank you. In his name we pray. Amen.